This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This podcast may contain adult themes, strong language, and stupid health advice. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to In Bad Taste, where we cast a critical eye over health documentaries and the claims they make. I am your host. I hate this episode. I'm registered nutritionist Lexi Turner.
And I'm cardiothoracic surgeon Dr. Nikki Stamp. And yeah, I'm not a fan either. But we're finishing our series on the Goop Lab this week, thankfully, and we are going out with a bang because this episode is just such a massive dumpster fire. It would have been impossible to really to watch anymore.
Oh my God, imagine if we'd had to watch all 6 episodes and review them all. I think we would have finally gone mad. This week's episode of the Goop Lab looks at energy healing. And if you thought that anti-aging and cold immersion was a bit woo and a bit weird, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, we've gone from nutrition and sexual therapy, you know, things with some actual science to look at, to something that belongs in a tarot card reading booth at a fairground. I have to say, and I think you're the same, I struggled through this episode because there was just so much word vomit and stuff that would barely constitute a well-constructed sentence that I wanted to turn it off and go and like read a book or do something else, you know, intellectual to recover my poor mind.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this episode, fuck me, this episode was really challenging for me. It just made me very angry. I mean, energy healing, in a word, it's bollocks. There's no evidence whatsoever to support that energy healing is a thing. It's a grown-ass dude who is standing over you waving his hands and expecting you to respond to that in some way. We open this whole episode with a whole bunch of word salad about energy, about this being the century of energy or something, and I'm like, just what the fuck are you talking about?
Energy has always existed, right? It's a law of nature. It's a law of the physical world. Just because he's worked out a way to market energy, to dupe people into coughing up a ton of money, does not make this the age of energy. This is not Aquarius. It is not a thing. You know, shut up.
That is such a good song, by the way.
I want to sing it now, but I won't. Because otherwise I'll keep singing it and I won't do this episode because it's blah. So focus. Maybe at the end.
Yeah. Let's focus on our two protagonists.
They are possibly the most privileged upper middle class white men that we have ever seen. Dr. John, and I'm saying doctor because that's what he calls himself, but he's not a doctor. Dr. John Amaral's a chiropractor who refers to himself as a body worker and a chiropractor who influences how energy moves. I was like, well, okay, are you a magician? Are you a light switch? Like, I don't understand. I mean, like, he just kind of encompasses the problems that chiropractors have. And I know, hashtag not all chiropractors, but we have seen so many chiropractors pop up in these films talking absolute nonsense. And he's joined by his mate, Dr. Lekos Do. Now, I just want to put something out there. DO is an osteopathic doctor or doctor of osteopathy, which in the United States is more or less the equivalent of an MD, a doctor of medicine. It's another type of medical school. It's legit. They can go on and study any specialty that they want. People who have a DO, they do a little bit more sort of functional medicine type stuff, I think, for want of a better word. Like they're a little bit more holistic. But they, you know, they're legitimate doctors. But this bloke is an embarrassment to DOs everywhere. osteopathy in a lot of people don't know that, but anyway, osteopathy in Australia, for example, is just kind of like nonsense. So he's a DO. He's actually a doctor, and he's making everybody look bad.
And he doesn't really say much. We do very much focus on John, and we see videos of his work, and it does look a little bit like an exorcism. Apparently, nobody has ever filmed his work before, and, you know, I can see why. It looks really fucking weird, and it also looks like he's doing sweet fuck all. I could definitely do this. If someone filmed me, put you on a massage table and me with my hands, I could do this and could do it with greater artistic flair. Seriously, mm-hmm. If someone pays me, I will actually film myself doing this and it will look way better than what he does whilst also being just as useless.
Do you know what I want to do? So just to set the scene, there's a whole bunch of people, they're usually lying face down on a massage table looking thing, and he literally like waves his hands. I would say it's like he's conducting an orchestra, but it's not that scientific. he just waves his hands and then they writhe and their hips jump and they shake and they cry and all this kind of crap. So you want to film yourself doing it because you'll think it'll look better. I want to film myself getting it, where I plan on lying there like a stony-faced bitch to prove a point that it is absolute nonsense.
Yep. And at this point, Elise, because she's always sitting next to Gwyneth Paltrow, Elise asks, what's actually happening when he does his hand movements?
Good question, Elise.
Let me read you his non-answer. I wrote the whole thing down.
Please.
Let me read you the whole thing. He says, you can measure the energy field of the body somewhere between 4 and 6 feet off the body. The body doesn't end right here at the skin.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. The body is multidimensional. Yeah, you idiot. It's 3D, in fact. Duh. There are layers to it. Yeah, you know, skin, blood, organs. Those are definitely layers. And I'm interacting with those layers. No, you're not. You're not fucking touching anyone. You're not interacting with any layers at all. He goes on. So when I'm moving my hands in the air and I'm snapping my fingers and I'm making sounds with my hands, I'm putting energy into the field around somebody's body. No, no, no. You are giving someone an auditory cue to do something that confirms what they already believe they should be doing in that setting. And he says, mm-hmm. And I'm changing their energy system just by the way I interact with it. So by this guy's definition, I should always stay 12 feet away from anyone to ensure they don't interact with my energy system. So our energy systems don't overlap. Great. Fucking great. I'm going to do that from now on. 12 feet away from everybody, because anybody who's moving within 12 feet of me, our energy systems are interacting, and that's potentially going to be really harmful for, I've got to keep my energy pure and clean, you know, and I cannot have some person on the tube interacting with my energy field and messing up with my vibration.
It's like Ghostbusters. You don't cross the streams.
Oh,
don't cross the streams. Oh my God. He says some absolute nonsense. Like, this is why I found it really hard to concentrate, because it is just word salad. It's like just random words put together in a quasi sentence. Now he says things like, people are doing PhDs. Great. So what? People are doing PhDs and lots of stuff. Gwyneth Paltrow, she's an actor. So she has so much energy, something, something, and it's a big burden for her. I'm like, oh, yes, I can see how she has like a very big burden in her life. That must be terrible for her. That your fascia, which is like your connective tissue, it's like your internal corset. It is like an LCD screen, and it transmits energy like crystals. I'm like, no, definitely doesn't, champ. And then Elise says that fascia is ignored by most conventional doctors who say, fuck fascia, fuck connective tissue. I'm like, shut up, Elise. No, we don't. We love fascia so much. We've labeled it, we've named it, and we stitch it back together once we've done an operation. So shut up. Oh my God, it's just such nonsense. And then they say stuff like, what else did you say? Oh, in 1985, neuroscientist Candace Pert published groundbreaking research that showed emotions can trigger peptides to carry chemical messages throughout the body and chemically change a cell. Yeah, they're called hormones. I don't know. It's like they took an encyclopedia. Now, I know some people may not have ever seen an encyclopedia, but like a massive book, and they kind of like, you know, randomly chose a page, put their finger on the page and said, oh, that word, we'll use that word. And then they just do that repeatedly until they construct a sentence. And I'm just very confused. None of what he says makes any sense. But you know, he has the gift of a mediocre white man. He says it with such authority and confidence that you're like, oh, yes. Oh, he's so right. The energy. I mean, he even talks about quantum physics. He even says that his theories are supported because of something called the double slit experiment, because this is a subatomic particle study, which implies that our consciousness can impact our physical body. That's not what the experiment was. It was about demonstrating that light can display properties of both waves and particles. It's like a big thing in physics, and it has absolutely nothing to do with him shaking his booty around you to try and get you to writhe in some sort of, I don't know, healing action. It's such garbage. Oh, God. Oh, God, my head's going to explode.
It's such a typical thing that we see in a lot of these kinds of morons, for lack of a better term, is that they like using these various different sciencey sounding words to create this word salad that makes them sound profound while actually they're saying sweet fuck all that makes any sense. I like to call this Russell Brand syndrome because I think he is a very good example of this. He says a lot of words, and at the end of it, you leave feeling like you've learned absolutely nothing because it doesn't make much sense, but it makes him sound smart and makes him sound profound, even though it doesn't make any sense really for the vast majority of people, unless for some reason you're also going for the word salad thing.
Yeah.
He talks about subatomic levels and this quantum. Quantum is a word that a lot of quacks and peddlers of pseudoscience have adopted to try and give their nonsense a grounding in science and science-sounding words. Mm-hmm. Every physicist just immediately put John on their hit list as soon as they heard this word, because it's totally misunderstanding and misappropriating their field. I've spoken to physicists about it. I spoke to a physicist last night about this.
Oh, really?
They are all seething at how fucking stupid and wrong people like this are. He needs to stop pretending he knows anything about physics and just admit that you're trying to sound profound and you sound like a narcissistic dickhead. It's not working. There's just nothing there that makes any sense. There is no connection between quantum physics and energy healing. That is not what the double slit experiment says. It doesn't make a lot of logical sense. And idiots like John clearly don't understand anything that's going on.
No, he doesn't. You can just tell that, you know, choosing to use quantum as a word or examples of physics in your explanation for what you're not doing sometimes it feels like a very conscious and deliberate play to confuse people, because most people don't understand, well, I think most people don't understand quantum physics. A lot of people don't understand physics. Like, you know, we all have different educations and some of us are good at it and some of us are not, and that's okay. But when you start saying quantum physics, it sounds like, oh my God, it's like going into space. It's like super complicated. This guy must know what he's talking about.
It's what smart people know things about.
Exactly. But I just want to, you know, this is not just our opinion, by the way. Like, you know, obviously we have opinions because we share them very freely here. But this is not just our opinion. You know, energy healing has no evidence. When I say no evidence to support it, it means it doesn't work. You know, there has been a big, like a meta-analysis, which is a really big study about Reiki, which is a type of energy healing, which has no evidence to support its use in anxiety or depression. Okay, it doesn't work. This is not my opinion. This is, as much as I don't like using this word to describe science, it's factual. It's a scientifically supported statement for me to say that energy healing doesn't work.
Yeah. One more thing is that Gwyneth Paltrow asked this guy if he thinks there's a correlation between trauma and how it shows up in the body. And I'm like, yes, this is a thing. But here's the thing. It is inside the body. It is not floating 4 feet above it, you twat. Emotions get stored in the body. Again, in the body. They don't get stored 4 feet above in mid-fucking air where you're waving your hands. Like, these two things are completely separate. Anyway, it's time for some demonstrations. It's time for a whole bunch of the Goop team to get demonstrations in how this works. And I think it's really important to set the scene here because they had three Goop staff members and someone else called Julianne do this in a group session. Now, this is important because Julianne has done this many times before. Mm-hmm, and they are all there in the same room at the same time, all lying down, lying face down on their massage tables. And John starts by going to Julianne.
Yes.
This is key, right? Because let me tell you what I think is happening here is that we start with Julianne. He goes straight to her. She knows what to expect. She goes balls deep into her confirmation bias. She starts doing the writhing and making the sounds. The others then think, oh, this is what I can expect. This is what is supposed to happen. Maybe I should be doing this too. And so they're all convulsing together. Boom, confirmation bias, placebo effect, peer pressure, all together to basically try and show that this is a thing that exists. You know who, the only person who doesn't act like they're having an exorcism is Brian, the so-called skeptic among this group. And we see this amongst very many different forms of pseudoscience, that if you're a skeptic, the things just don't work because you're not primed and you're not emotionally invested in it. And actually, if at one point you pause the episode while it's zoomed out, you can see that John's hands are right by Julianne's body and yet the other people are also moving. And I'm like, how does that work? You said the energy field is 6 feet and you are way, way beyond 6 feet away from them. So surely that to me is a clear demonstration this is a placebo effect, because surely otherwise stuff would only happen when he was right by them.
Yeah, it's groupthink. So Julianne is actually a dancer. She was on, she's one of the professionals on Dancing with the Stars. So when you see her like moving, it's very, I'm not saying it's choreographed. It looks choreographed as in it's beautiful. She's flowing. She's very flexible. You know, it looks beautiful, right? It looks like she's dancing. Brian calls himself a skeptic, but works at Goop. Brian, I know it's a tough economy. I know that jobs can be hard to come by, but champ, quit your job. Stop legitimizing this shit, okay? I can't agree more solidly with what you're saying. You see Brian predominantly lying there doing nothing. I'm like, yes, go champ, you know. And you see the other, I think it's Janae, who's one of the other group staffers, just start crying. And I'm like, there's nothing that he's done that's made her cry. But if you go into, this is again about priming, about your expectations. If you go into that setting and John comes up to you and says, look, I know we all carry trauma. We've all had tough times. This is going to help you release your trauma. You are going to lie there and think, you know what? I'm going to cry. I'm going to get rid of my trauma. And you'll start thinking about it and then you'll cry. There is nothing special about what's going on. It is all a show. It is like an exorcism. It's like a healing that's done by some, what are those people called who do the spiritual healers who do the, you know, Christ be with you and slam you on the forehead and all of a sudden you can get up and walk again.
Yeah.
It's nonsense, okay? It's not real. It's not real. Gwyneth Paltrow partakes in this, but obviously she's too good to mix with the riffraff that are her staff. She has to go and have a private session with John. By the by, if you would like a private session with John, it will cost you $2,500.
That's so expensive.
I could think of so many better things that I would spend my money on. Okay, I'd buy a Cartier bracelet before I spent that much money.
I could go on holiday.
I could do so much. I could like have a banquet with my friends. I'd rather do that. But yeah, so Gwyneth has her own. This is not her first session that we're seeing filmed. This is her second or third session. Something about her emergency C-section scar feels emotional pain. Like, no, it doesn't. You might feel emotional when you think about your emergency cesarean section, because that makes sense. But, you know, your C-section scar isn't sitting down there in your lower abdomen going, oh, everything's bad. You know, but she goes and has her private session and same thing. She's a bit like Julianne. She sort of writhes about and, you know, her hand starts shaking and it's just all, oh God, it's just such stupid bollocks. bollocks, I tell you.
It is. Do you know what we haven't actually mentioned is that what we've said so far, and is reasonably accurate, makes it sound like he's just waving his hands above people. But he does touch people gently.
Yes.
At the base of their spine and at the top, just at the base of the skull.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Now, this is important because he's not just waving his hands. He is moving his hands where the body goes after he's done that little kind of touch. Because, of course, if you touch that part of someone's body, that's where their attention is. That's where they're going to start moving. At one point, he pokes Julianne, and obviously she reacts to that. I mean, duh. Mm-hmm. With Janae also, he touches her like gently, and then he talks to her. This is also important. Mm-hmm. He is talking to these people and saying what he's doing while he's doing it. It's not that they they can feel where his hands are. He is telling them where his hands are, mm-hmm. either through just the way, the sound of what they can hear of where he's standing, and also because he says what he's doing. He went with Janae. He asks her to imagine a funnel of energy. Visualization is powerful, and that is doing some substantial work here, way more than he is. And he says to her, like, that energy is coming through your heart now. Okay, that's, you know, he says it like a fact, firstly, not like it's a question. So obviously she goes with that, and that's what she experiences. And I'm like, if you told me that while I'm lying down, sitting, lying quietly, that's where my attention is going to be focused. And then after that, she cries. And look, I can imagine that was potentially a really cathartic experience for her. And I know what that's like, because when I've gone through difficult points in life, I have also cried in yoga classes before, usually right at the end during Savasana, right at the end.
I cry in CrossFit.
Why then? It's because I'm lying quietly with no distractions. I've just spent an hour connecting with my body through movement. And all the shit that you push down then comes up when you sit quietly and you let it. This has nothing to do with what this guy is doing. And everything to do with the person allowing those feelings to come up to the surface. She even said, when we hear her afterwards, Janae says it felt like meditation, and she explored those memories. She was doing all of the work.
Yeah, but you know, I think you raised a really important point, because there was one point when I was watching him as they were showing, I can't remember which session it was, but it totally looked like the body, like I said, I can't remember who it was, the movement was happening and then his hands were going to that space. Like, it really looked like he was an afterthought. The body moved, whoever's body it was moved, they writhed their hips, and then his hands went to the hips, and he's like, look, I made the hips move, Mum. Like, no, you didn't. But the whole time when we were seeing these extended periods where you're watching him work, The reason that he didn't ever want his sessions to be filmed is not because he would be like, oh, it looks kind of funny. The reason he doesn't want his sessions filmed is because people like us who are, you know, scientific, skeptical, and we're a bit mean, and we're okay with that, we're going to watch it and criticize it and call what he's doing false. Because, you know, I think that the videos of him doing that, that's basically what it looks like. It looks like garbage.
It does. It does. And of course, it's not just enough for us to see what the group staff are doing. We have the case studies. And there are two here. There is a woman and a man. And with both of these, what immediately I noticed was that both of them saw John work on somebody else before they had their session. Mm-hmm. Again, this is absolutely crucial because right there, that person immediately gets some expectations of what this is supposed to look like and what the body is supposed to do. Both of them saw him work on somebody else before they had their session. That's really, really key because it sets up that expectation. It primes them towards what they think their body should be doing. And so maybe not like purely, not totally consciously, but they do copy that. That's because that's what you mm-hmm. expect is supposed to happen. It's the same way that if you were to watch a yoga class, before you do one, you would do the same things as what those people are doing. You would do the same movements. Mm-hmm. If you notice specific things about the way they extend their hands, for example, you would start doing the same because that's what you think is supposed to happen.
Yes, yes, exactly.
There's nothing magic happening here. It's all expectation and placebo.
This is psychology 101, this one. The case studies as well, you know, I always harp on this, but they both presented that they have ailments. So one, the lady had migraines and depression, and the man had a type of lymphoma called follicular B cell lymphoma, which is actually a very indolent, very treatable lymphoma. And he had some problems with his nerve tissues, and his doctors told him that he might not get feeling back in those nerves, but he did, which is great. And they both attribute their improvements in their health to energy healing. It's physically impossible. I'm so pleased that they feel better about themselves, but it's not possible, okay? It's not possible. And I think particularly pulling up someone who has cancer as a case study, have real problems with that because we've talked about this repeatedly in a lot of our episodes, whether it be through films that are promoting something that explicitly says, this is going to cure cancer, for example, or whether things just kind of hint at it. There is a fine line. There is a fine line between lying on the table and having a really good cathartic cry and feeling a bit better about all the stressful things that have happened in your life and having that moment to yourself and that time to meditate and be still. And there is a, you know, the other end of the spectrum is that you have people thinking, I think this could cure my serious illness. And they don't make that distinction. And I think that given that they're promoting this and many other things as miracles, you know, amazing things, quantum, in fact, that, you know, that's a no from me. I think it's stupid and potentially dangerous.
Yeah, and they contradict themselves throughout this episode as well. For example, they say that we can measure the energy field off of someone's body being 4 to 6 feet away. And then later they say, oh, the technology isn't quite there to measure energy healing. Like, well, which one is it? Make up your mind. I mean, there are definitely some people out there who have tried to measure auras as well. And like, no. Now, in a nutshell, energy healing does not work. It defies the laws of physics, chemistry, biology. It's not going to happen. They try these so-called experts. They try and make a few attempts to discuss research. But again, it's a total word salad. Another thing I loved that one of them said was the science of how fascia and connective tissue is a whole matrix of which consciousness is expressed.
What?
Let me just repeat that so you can try and understand what the fuck I'm saying. The science of how fascia and connective tissue is a whole matrix of which consciousness is expressed. That does not make any fucking sense whatsoever, but use the word consciousness and all of a sudden it sounds sciencey and impressive.
If anyone listening is a linguist or a linguistic student or has any expertise in linguistics, please, please tell us about that sentence because I don't think that makes any sense whatsoever. Please confirm that I'm not losing my mind because I feel like I've lost my mind. I feel like I have lost my mind because, you know, even though the content aside, like the fact that this is all rubbish, like it doesn't work, it's not a real thing, let's just, you know, put that to bed. The episode and what they say was just so confusing and nonsensical because of all these like word salads, you know, verbal diarrhea, scientific terms that have no applicability to what they're trying to say. all jumbled together. You know, I really, really struggled with this episode. You got to the point, I don't know, I've been finding this a lot more lately with these films or episodes that we've been watching where the stuff that they say is so nonsensical, either because of like stupid sentences like that one that you just said, because this is not the only place that we've heard rubbish like this, but also because the links they're trying to make are just so wrong. I've really struggled to pay attention to these films. I have to find myself like stopping, having a moment, you know, refocusing on the film, because it is exhausting trying to pay attention to this without getting lost and just tuning out to the nonsense that they're saying. And I think that we do that because we're like, look, I can very quickly say that this is crap. I'm not going to pay any attention. Subconsciously, my mind's like, no, I'm going to protect you and tune out. But I think where a lot of other people would see this as really attractive and interesting and exciting and promising and, you know, offering them false hope. I'm broken. Completely broken.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this episode was the fucking worst. It was painful. It was awful. It's just, there's no science here. All there is is there's placebo effect, there's confirmation bias, there's peer pressure and suggestibility. All of these things, when you put them together, make a very compelling viewing of what could be perceived as something healing that actually has no scientific basis whatsoever. That's my verdict on this episode. And when looking at the series as a whole, their overarching theme running through this whole series seems to be this idea of a lack of connection. And I would absolutely agree that as a population, we are navigating a real potential epidemic of disconnection. I mean, especially at the moment due to the, you know, the small matter of a global pandemic, but also just in general, whether that's because of our, you know, because of our screens, because of our completely fucked up work-life balance, because of our whole environment and the way that we live. Yeah, it's much harder to have that same connection. But that doesn't mean that we should engage in total pseudoscience. Yes, more orgasms, please. And yes, food is important. But cleanses and energy healing and jumping into ice-cold lakes, that's just privileged drivel. And it's all yours for several thousand dollars per hour, by the way, which is insane.
Yes.
They take the potential of bridging the orgasm gap to really help women, and they give that the same weight as an energy healer waving his hands above a person.
Yes.
Those two things are not equivalent. They are not the same. So we don't need this. And unfortunately, Netflix has commissioned a second season of The Goop Lab. The world does not need that. What the world does need is us. Nikki and myself exploring these techniques for ourselves, looking at the evidence, and not being vessels of confirmation bias. Can you imagine what that would look like? Us doing a Netflix series, just lying on that table, just like, nothing's happening. Is something supposed to happen? And John just panicking, being like, can you not feel this? Like, I could feel your energy. And I'm like, no, I can't feel anything. It would just be hilarious. It'd be awkward, but it'd be really hilarious to watch. And I really want it to happen.
100%. I think we should do this. Like, you know, I think we should. I guess this is probably time to tell people that this will be our last film that we're going to watch for this year, because it might not sound like it sometimes because we crap on a bit. But, you know, this is an enormous amount of work for us. I mean, you hear us whinge about how painful these films are to watch, and they are. I mean, we do all of this work ourselves. Like, we watch the films, we research them. Pixie does the editing, which is why you get these amazing outtakes from time to time. And, you know, it's exhausting. But I think one of the reasons it's exhausting, apart from the actual, you know, the work that we do, is that it is also exhausting having to watch all of this. And it's frustrating that, you know, whether it's us or someone else, realistically, it's frustrating to see people like this and energy healing and so on and so forth get the same or more airtime and the same weight as things that are proven as experts. And I think that's really, really disappointing. So we are going to have a little break until next year, where no doubt we're going to have to watch a whole new batch of health films, including Goop Season 2, which I just think, come on, Netflix, just stop.
Just do better.
Just stop. We're much more funny. We're much more funny. Pick us.
Oh, we are.
So we're gonna have a break.
Yeah, we will be having a break, but we will be back in January because, I mean, January being International Diet Month, there's going to be a lot of pseudoscience, and I think the world will need us in January. So we'll be back then. But we seriously, we do appreciate you listening and making all this work worthwhile in some way. We really massively do appreciate that. Please, I mean, if you feel like if you have episodes to catch up on, December is a great opportunity for you to catch up on any that you've missed or skipped, because they're all pretty fucking great. So please do continue to listen and to share all of the episodes. And, you know, definitely let us know which documentaries you want us to cover next year, because we have a list, but we are always, always keen to hear what people are most interested in. So while we're taking a break for December, we will be doing one kind of Christmas special episode, I guess, as a one-off, just to give our overview, our rundown of the whole year. We're going to have a little award ceremony of what's been like the worst so-called expert, the worst claim, all of these things. We're going to have a bit of fun with that. And then we'll be back in January with more documentaries and with more pseudoscience.
I'm sad and excited at the same time. But mainly excited because we need a break. look, in the meantime, subscribe, please. That's how we're going to outrank the medical medium. And leave us a 5-star rating. And don't forget to tell people about us. Like I say, you've got you've got all these months to re-listen to all of our episodes. And make sure you tell your friends about our podcast. If you have any questions or comments, you can get in contact with us on email inbadtastepodcast@gmail.com. We really, really love hearing from you. Please be sure to tell us what you have thought. Again, as Pixie said, tell us what you want to hear as well, because we will bow to peer pressure, essentially. We'll watch the films that you want us to watch. And of course, in the meantime, come and see us on our socials. We will continue to talk about this crap, definitely, while we're taking a break, because that's what we do. Pixie is at Pixie Nutrition and I am at Dr. Nikki Stamp. And as always, we will leave you references and links in the show notes below.
Thank you so much for joining us through, I think, 30 episodes over this year so far.
Yeah. And
several different documentaries, from anti-vaxxers to vegan shit to goopy shit. It's been an absolute pleasure and we cannot wait to continue next year. Nikki and I have so much fun with this. But in the meantime, stay safe, I guess. Stay away from the Netflix shit and we'll see you next year. Bye.
Calls himself a spective. Brian calls himself. I just made up a word.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.